Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Courtney Tripp with 3B Soap Reviews. I hope everybody's enjoying this winter weather, whatever you want to call it, 55 degrees. I think it's BS. I love it when it's cold. It's an excuse for me to wear my UGG boots and hoodies. And it's just easier to live life whenever you can just throw something on, you know what I mean? Makeup, hair, messy bun, hoodie, leggings, UGG boots. That's me. So anyway, I hope everybody's having a great weekend. We have to start over again tomorrow. It's Monday, but we'll be able to have our 3BQA, yay, at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I'm excited, always excited to do the Q&A with you guys because you have some of the most fun questions ever. So tonight, we're going to be talking about November sweeps. It's over. We're moving into December and into the new year. And we've got a lot to talk about. I'm going to go ahead and say, though, that everything that I'm going to say tonight, for the most part, is just kind of based on opinion, kind of where we're at and what's going on. Obviously, we never know where the stories are going to be taken, but I just want to kind of give you an idea of where I sit, how I feel, and it's prediction. It's not spoilers. It's not any of those things. It's just me kind of telling you how I feel about the direction of each of the shows right now. And, you know, hopefully you'll agree. If not, I completely respect that too. But we've had a lot of controversy on Twitter. Not as extreme as we've had in the previous weeks, but we've had quite a bit. And I'm going to go ahead and start with Days of Our Lives because it's the most controversial soap right now, just because it's tackling or attempting to tackle certain storylines and certain real-life situations that a lot of people are anxious to see how they're going to play out. And I obviously have an opinion on that, so we're going to go ahead and address a few things. But I know that a lot of you are really enjoying Days of Our Lives right now. I completely respect that. I'm just on the opposite end. I don't like it at all. And I love this show. And I think that there are some things that are great, but I think the overall premise is misguided. I don't feel that Ron really knows these characters like he should. I don't think he's projecting them and writing them like he should. And I'm just going to kind of name a few things. I'm not going to go the overall show because, of course, there's some things that are good. I mean, you can't completely wreck something. He hasn't ruined everybody, but he has, to me, kind of made me dislike characters I normally don't dislike. He's made me scratch my head. He's made me kind of go, what is that? Why are you doing that? And November Sweeps for me was kind of a dud. And the reason why it was a dud for me was because I think that let's start with the Will storyline. Of course, Will is a legacy character, and he's a necessary character, among some other characters that we're going to talk about in a minute. But Will is absolutely necessary, I think. And some people disagree. I've actually come across quite a few people that just absolutely despise Will and think he's worthless and all this other stuff. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't take it that far. But, I mean, if that's how you feel, that's cool, too. But Will's reveal of him being alive, I thought was a dud. I think that the going to Memphis and the Elvis impersonator and, oh, goodness gracious, Susan being involved. And as much as I love Eileen Davidson, I think that her talents, in a sense, in a lot of ways, were wasted. And the reason why I think that is not because I don't like Susan. I think Susan's a great character. She's funny, and Eileen can make anything interesting. I mean, she can say the Pledge of Allegiance in Swedish, and it's going to be amazing. So, I mean, it just doesn't even matter. But I think that we should have seen more of Kristen. I think that having a glimpse of her was a waste. I don't really think that having all of this Susan airtime. And my question is, why was Kristen in Memphis? We never found out why. We never got a reason. How would she have known these things? Why would she show up in Memphis? Is she been watching? Was she tormenting Susan? Was she tormenting Sammy? Did she have something to do with it? I mean, there's just too much unanswered questions. And that leads into the statement, well, maybe Ron is 2018. I don't know. But I thought that whole story was really kooky out there, and I think it could have been written a lot better. And while the performances were, of course, top-notch, I think that the story itself was skittish, crazy, weird, and left me more confused than satisfied. And of course, I always love having Sammy back in town, but she was erratic. She was irrational. And these are things she already is. I will say that. She is already all of those things. But the way that she was written to be erratic and irrational and ridiculous, and I'm really glad that groups like Soap Central actually wrote articles about it and addressed a lot of the things that I have been feeling about it and saying, you know, why is she reenacting her son's death just to spark his memory? The fans, the viewers have already had to endure this violent, vicious attack on this character, and now you're making us watch it a second time. I think it was unnecessary. I think that it was stupid. I think that Sammy, if this is the way that she thinks, I mean, I can't support somebody doing something that insane. I know she's desperate, but that far, I mean, that was taken way, 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 way too far. And we have all of these EJ mentions, and we're left confused about that. Now, while Kristen was in town for the 2 seconds that she revealed that EJ's alive. Okay, then what? What do we get? Okay, what does that mean? Okay, we know he's alive. Cool. That's great. I love that. But, you know, you have the ability to write something pretty great. You can reveal Sammy finding out that EJ's alive. Now, she hasn't left town yet. She leaves on the 13th. And there is the possibility that we just don't know. Maybe she gets a phone call. We don't know. But at the same time, if this doesn't end up coming out in the wash and she doesn't know, I think it was all for nothing. I think it was pointless. And I think it was to bait the Jammy fan base. And that's kind of insulting. And I really hope that Ron doesn't go there. I mean, we're already kind of insulted. I think the general consensus is that we were really upset about the safe sex. Now, I know that some people were like, oh, I just love Reese and Sammy. They have so much chemistry. I'm not going to go over that again because I'll go on a feminist kick, and I'm just not really willing to do that right now. But the whole safe sex thing was literally just for angst for Rafe and Hope, which is already appearing that the majority of people don't like, people that do like them, but as a majority, as a whole, people don't. And you create this conflict, and it's just bizarre. It's forced. It's not, I mean, it was weird. You have Sammy literally laying there naked next to her ex-husband, who, in my opinion, was very belittling to her during their entire soiree, their marriage, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. I mean, marriage is marriage, whatever. But I think that having her lay there and say, you need to go after the love of your life, but hey, spend the night with me platonically, no big deal. This is a bunch of BS. Like, I absolutely hated all of it. And people are going, oh, they're paying homage to their history. That's paying homage to history? No, 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 baby. No, no. That's not paying homage. That's being ridiculous and stupid, and that's baiting, and that is absolutely a Ken Corday move. And you just know he's sitting back there saying, I just have to get my safe time in because Rafe's my baby, and I have to put him in the forefront, and he always has to be the hero, and he always has to be the victim, and I'm sick of it. So, you know, you have this character being erratic and being stupid and breaking, you know, trust and burning bridges with her relatives and sleeps with her ex-husband, who is engaged to her aunt. And even though they split up 5 minutes, it doesn't matter. Let's also focus on the fact that Rafe bounced from niece to aunt to niece and then back to aunt. I mean, what? And this is supposed to be entertaining, and we're supposed to love these characters for this behavior. No, thank you. I'll pass. So we've got Sammy Brady, who is a ultimate legend legacy character, acting like a dumbass. She's always acting like a dumbass, but she's acting like a capital, all capital dumbass. And I didn't like it. I love her. But I'm almost to the point where I'm like, when are you leaving? Can you go ahead and go now? I love having Allie on Days of Our Lives, but it was driving me nuts the way they were writing her. I was like, please stop. And then I'm going to also say that as an Jammy, I can also put that on the back burner and accept that if James Scott did decide that he's never, ever, 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 ever coming back under no circumstances, which would break my heart, but if he ever said those words and said, I'm never returning, I refuse. If she was going to have a one-night stand with somebody, it should have been Lucas. Now, is he in a broken place himself? Yes. But Lumi's history did not get paid the homage that it should have. Lumi has a history, and they were crapped on like the Ujamis were crapped on. You never saw Lucas barely ever in Memphis. He's battling his alcoholism. It doesn't matter. Why is nobody including him in the fact that his son is alive? Oh, but hello, we've got rape, so we're good. No, guys. No, Ron. No, no. Mm-mm. Nobody buys it. That's crap. And so now Sammy's leaving town. Obviously, rape is going, rape. Lucas is going to have his time with Will, and he's going to get sober, and Maggie's his sponsor, da-da-da-da-da. And then we have our last moment with, this is a spoiler, so go ahead and like mute, do something if you don't want to hear this. But before Sammy leaves, she has a conversation with Rafe, gives the ring back that Will found, and they discuss, of course, because this is typical soap, you know, territory here, where they discuss the one-night stand, and they say, hey, we don't need to talk about that. And Sierra overhears it. So we already know that Rope's in trouble. But, you know, Sammy, just go ahead and, you know, kick rocks, because you just need to go. Because I'm recovering from this betrayal. And she could have hooked up with anybody. Anybody. Why did it have to be Rafe? It should have been Lucas, period. End of story. There's no getting around that. So I think that Sweet has kind of been a disappointment. And I know that everybody, like I said, is excited and going, oh, well, I really like it. Okay, that's cool. But not me. So, moving on from Days of Our Lives, we're going to go ahead and talk about Young and the Restless. Now, this is another touchy subject. And the reason why it's touchy is because we're moving into a different territory now. Okay, Mal Young was interviewed, and he said something, and this is no disrespect to Mal, and Mal, if you happen to be listening, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. That was kind of a mistake. You have a group like the Havon fan base. Number one, Havon is an absolutely 100% definite, no questions asked, important couple. And not just because these two people genuinely belong together, but because you've got to see, you know, these two people that are broken. And I'm relating a lot to Jamie just because I know how this feels. But Devon is very confused. And Hillary is just a mess. And she's going through a lot herself. She's making mistakes. Devon just got, you know, dumped by Mariah. And these two people obviously, I mean, are still pining for each other. They have, you know, since the beginning. But what I think that Mal is doing and saying the phrase, you know, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact words, but basically saying, well, we'll worry whenever they stop caring. But as long as they're screaming at the television, we're good. And they're going to have good moments, you know, together and apart. You're letting that fan base know that they're not going to get their pairing back. That's how I take it. And I could be dead wrong. And Mal, you know, if you ever want to say something publicly about that beyond what you said, that'd be good for them. Say it that casually, I think that's going to cause more harm than good. Because telling a fan base, hey, I know you're upset and I know what you want, but you're not going to get it. I'm going to torment you and make you think you're going to get it. And we're going to beat around the bush and we're going to do this and that. Mal, go talk to Ken Corday and ask how that turned out for him. And maybe you'll rethink that. When you have a loyal set of followers like the Havon fans and the Taraya fans, we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to talk about Havon. You have, you know, the possibility of putting these characters into legacy status for the African-American community. But just as the viewership as a whole really wants to see this pairing, And I do think it's important to have two African-American people in the forefront. I think they should have a legacy-centered pairing. I think it's necessary, and you're not doing it, and I don't understand. And that's what leads me on to Taraya. Why are you not moving forward with this pairing? Why are you not moving forward for the LGBT community? I don't get it. Are you afraid? We're in a territory with our soaps that literally we are the ones, as viewers, we're paying your rent. Okay? That's the difference, and that's what people don't get, is that the viewers are in control. Now, while people go, oh, well, we have no say-so over this, yes, you do. And the reason why is because if you tune out, they don't get paid. And that's nothing to do with the actors because they're wonderful. I'm talking about the people that are putting their employment in jeopardy. And Mal, if you don't stop pulling a Corday, you're going to end up in a soap mag begging us to tune in. Because that's what happened. And you're going to get a code of silence. One of these days, somebody's going to organize it. Somebody's going to shut it down. You know, I don't know how well that'll go, but it went pretty good for us. And don't think that it won't happen over at CBS, because it will. You've got to respect your viewership. I don't understand. You've got Mariah and Tessa, and you barely see them. You literally have this moment between these two girls, and they're going through this confusion, and they're having all these feelings, and Mariah is being so open and honest and direct, and including her mother in the mix, and her mom's being great. And I'm like, damn it, this is good shit. We're finally moving in the right direction here. And there it goes again, putting them on the back burner. For what? For what? There's other ships. And I'm going to address those too. But you've got to know the honeypot a little bit better. Your honeypot, lift the lid and take a look in. It's Havon and it's Taraya. That is your money bags right there. That's your bank. Hey, we're more than willing to give you the code. Open the door and go for it. Because Days is addressing things, and as mad as I am at Ron, and hopefully he won't keep me mad at him. Not that he cares. He might. I don't know. As a whole, I hope he cares. Ron has the ability, just like you have the ability, to write something great. At Days, you've got, you know, police brutality. You've got, you know, that's the main thing. And then, of course, you do have, you know, Will and Paul and Sunny. You've got your gay storyline over there. And then with you guys over at Young and the Restless, you've got, you know, MS with Nikki. You've got Alzheimer's with Dana. And you have, you know, an African-American pairing. And then you have a gay pairing. You've got the ability to be progressive about it and to make a difference. And the fact that you're not honing in on that is disappointing. You're disappointing a lot of people. And I think it's an important thing that you start paying more attention and not just addressing the good, the comments that you like. And that's something Ron is bad at, about over Days. He doesn't address the bad. And when whatever he does address, meh, it's worthless. I know that you feel safe in your role, but you've got to do better. And turning your back on this lesbian storyline and turning your back on Hillary and Devon is stupid. And I know that you're a big Philly fan, and I know that a lot of people are. But even then, you have these two characters that Jean is amazing. Oh, my God. She's gorgeous, and she's funny, and she's smart, and she's sharp. And I don't know who Phyllis is anymore. I just don't. I mean, she cracks a real good joke sometimes, but I don't know who she is. I don't relate to her like I used to. I still do. But her relationship with Billy is flat for me. For now, it wasn't. I mean, it had some fire to it, but the fire's kind of gone out. And something else that I had addressed was the fact that Billy and Victoria are completely out of each other's orbits. And I know people have argued with me saying they never pined for each other. Yes, they did. Individually, yes, they did. Billy wanted to be in a relationship with Victoria. Victoria wanted to be in a relationship with him after he got with Phyllis. Why are we forgetting that? My God. And it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that you've got these two people that have got freaking kids together, that shared a life together, that had a history together, and they're nowhere near each other at all. They still have to coexist. What? Why don't they? This is what I'm getting at, is that these people are being written out of character. They do things and say things and behave certain ways. You're like, where did that come from? You know, it's just disappointing as crap. And then moving on, and I don't have as harsh of criticisms for Bold and the Beautiful. I really don't. You know, criticisms I have over Bold and the Beautiful is Steffi is acting like a lunatic about this hookup with Bill. And she's literally setting herself up for failure. It's like, if you're going to let it go, you need to let it go. Stop having all these flashbacks, stop twitching and almost fainting and going pale and crying your eyes out and then bringing it up in front of Liam. And it's just like, cover your tracks a little bit better. If you're going to lie, go big or go home. And she's just not. So the reveal on that, I hope, is bigger than this. But her flipping out and Liam pining, all capital letters, over a kiss with Sally. I'm just, geez, Louise, stop apologizing. Like, enough, dude. We know you're sorry. Cool. Your wife screwed your dad. No big deal. You know? And then Brooke and Ridge. The fact that Quinn is allowed to be as close to Ridge as they are, the fact that Eric's just chilling, what? I'm sorry, but if my husband cheated on me and the woman he cheated with worked with him, I'm sorry, he's getting another job, she's getting another job, or they're dead. I'm going to make them disappear. Something's going to happen, and it's going to be negative because I'm just not doing it. And the fact that you have, you know, Quinn and Ridge so close together, I don't know how Eric stands it. I love my son. I want my sons to get along. I'm sick of Ridge calling Thorne his little brother, little brother, little brother. I'm so sick of hearing that. And then, you know, Thorne stomping his feet and going, don't call me that. I'm just like, come on, guys. Enough. I understand sibling rivalries, but this is a little bit much, don't you think? And then, of course, going into next week, you know, Ridge wants to marry Brooke, and then Thorne goes, oh, no, please don't. You can't. I'm going to kiss you and show you that I care. And here we go with that triangle. It's all just a mess, and it's gross, and everybody just, you know, bounces around with everybody. And then Sheila's, of course, always going to be Sheila. She's always going to be insane. And trying her best to set up Quinn. And I keep thinking, well, if that was me and a guy rejected me the way Eric rejected her, I would not continually try to set his wife up to cheat on him. I mean, she'll do just fine on her own. She will cheat on Ridge. I'm not doubting that a bit. I'm not. Just the way that you see her mingling with Ridge, and then, oh, yeah, it's coming. I feel it. I feel it in the air tonight, guys. It's just cray-cray. And then you've got Hope coming back. And Annika's really pretty as a blonde. I'm looking forward to seeing her in that role. I know some people are like, really? But give it a shot. Just see how you feel. And like I said, you know, I've been emotionally investing slowly into these characters. And that was something that was hard for me to do in the beginning. I was like, I just can't get into this, you know. And it's just when you're not in your comfort zone, you just kind of question everything. And then finally when I got set in it and really settled into what was going on the, you know, on the screen, I was thinking, well, holy crap, I really like the show. And watching every single day, and it's the first show I watch. You know, I have Young and the Restless and Bold and Beautiful on my DVR. I don't have Days of Our Lives on there. That was just me protesting and being petty. But, you know, that's the one I watch first. I used to watch Young and the Restless first. I would die to get home to watch Young and the Restless. But because Soraya's not moving and because Havon's not moving, I'm just like, no, thank you. Oh, and another thing about Young and the Restless. I am so peeved about Scott and Abby. I cannot get over it. If Sharon can't catch a break pretty soon, I'm going to flip out. And, you know, the other day I was watching, and I was like, is she, like, making, like, noise that she wants? Like, was I hearing that right? You know, I wasn't drunk or anything. Like, I'm pretty sure I heard her say that. So, tweet me, beat me, if you want to reach me. Like, I need to know what that was about. Because I've been predicting that, haven't I? I've been saying, I'm like, shit's going to happen again. It's going to happen again, you guys. I can feel it. And I'm just really kind of just wanting Nick to stay away from everyone. He gets on my nerves. He's so handsome, but I can't right now. Don't like the way he's being written. So anyway, moving on to things about us. I had announced on last week's show, I'm going to say it again, that we are not doing giveaways after the new year. And the reason being is just because I want us to mainly focus on product lineup and moving forward with that. And that's important to me. And I, it's, you know, and a lot of you have been reaching out to me and kind of asking me what the direction is and different things. And I'm really glad that y'all are interested in all of that. So I want us to focus on that and really make the best of it. So that's how we were going to do that. But I do want to go ahead and say that we do have somebody that's going to be winning our Bold and the Beautiful prize tonight. So, yay. Is it Bold and the Beautiful tonight? Yeah, it is. I always get all of my stuff mixed up. So, I did draw a winner earlier just because I'm having to work off site. I'm not in the studio tonight. So Christy McDougall actually won our Bold and the Beautiful gift tonight. So congratulations, sweet dear. I'm going to get with you and get your information. And we'll start working on your Daryl got his mug. I'm so excited for him. He likes the Port Charles mug, so yay. And then next month is Days of Our Lives. So yay. And that'll be the last one. Actually, no, hold on. December, this month. At the end of this month, there'll be Days of Our Lives. And then we'll have one more in January. And it'll just be a New Year's giveaway, and that's it. So we've got two more coming up. And Days of Our Lives and then Young and the Restless is for the new year. So anyway, give us a follow on Twitter at 3D Soap Reviews. Love you. And we'll follow you back. And then follow us on Instagram at CTreezyBaby. You can kind of dive into my personal life there, see my beautiful nephews and my travels and all the fun, silly things that I do with my life. So give us a follow on Instagram and we'll give you a follow back. So thank you guys so much for all of your support and understanding and letting me rant and rave and say things that you don't want to hear. And thank you for being gracious and kind, even when you don't agree with me. And that's what's beautiful about this business, is that I'm able to be a voice for some and just be something that annoys other people, I guess, if you don't agree with me. I don't know. So anyway, I love you guys so much. It's been awesome. I'll see you tomorrow for our 3BQA at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and then Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Love you. Bye.